5, which is not neonate, and is above, it's not, you know, it's not above 5 years old. And yeah, this is emergency, but stable people, like, just okay, they can be okay, yeah. So when they come here and they're not malarious and the funny things, chest infection, but not good enough to go home, diarrhea, all that one thing can take them. If they're stable, they're here. If not, then they go to the ward, like, on the other side. Okay. But so here, it's stable. Like a fast turnover place. Okay. We have two patients in here that we're having, what is it in? We're managing for, we're doing chemo for. So, they, what is it in? Burkitt's lymphoma. It's something that the chemo at least works. So, we get you out. Most of the time, the tumor will go back. Like, most of them come with this very huge jaw mass. Like very huge, and sometimes they live in a country, they be treating them with all kinds of things, and then they'll be putting in, and then when they come, yes, we have, because we have a hemato-oncologist who helping us, she from Nigeria, so you know, started giving the chemo and work. So the cycle is expensive, but at least
we have 2 patients.
And this, two patients are with the dialysis for peritoneal dialysis. Yeah.
Which, so you do have the dialysis machine?
Yep.
Because we're talking about that.
They don't.
No,
there's no dialysis machine. But we have this. Yeah.
Right.
We have. Here you go. I'll explain.
I guess you're telling me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's so
sickest people here.
Okay.
We have mostly respiratory cases, so the people who have to connect to the concentrator, and they will bring it here. They're really ill. Most of them are insufficient respiratory distress. And then we keep them 3 or 4 days. When they get a little bit stable, they can move from all the oxygen, they will move into another area. People that are stable, like this speed ward, this whole place is speed, I just ward. Everybody, but it's different, you know, categories. So over there, they move from the ICU to here, like they're a little better and maybe they can go home. So you see here. Here we have this playroom that is closed, right? So we use it to do examination, ultrasound, because the place is small, we don't have enough space, so we just make. Also, stable patients, but then people are staying longer. For example, we got osteomyelitis, some cases that they'll be here for 1 month or 2 months. People inside here. Or we're having chemo, we got abdominal buckets on this side, and other things that we can't keep, you know, I mean, can't short stay, so they stay whatever. And then last 2 rooms. Mostly surgical patients, peace surgery, so broken accident, whatever, injuries on the 2 sides, the 2 rooms are peace surgery. So, yeah, we co-manage them with the surgeons, because us, we do medical side, then the surgeons come and then they will see them while they're here, but then if anything, then we'll see them too. We got different cases, like good thing about JFK, all the cases you can think about. So for the dialysis, we do peritoneal dialysis, where the skin, we put in your indwelling catheter that stays there. It's like a two-way, one for fluids going in and one for fluids coming out. So it's like a manual thing that we use. Yes. So we have to monitor the electrolytes. We have to do everything, like hands on. The doctor's gotta be on. Like, I was so like stressed this evening. I was like, hey God, please don't let me have dialysis to do tonight, because like you don't sleep 1 week, you will be watching, like every step of the way, you have to put the fluid in, and then you. So when we have in going, the fluid goes in, like we got the electrolytes, we infuse it into dextrose because we use the dextrose as a solvent drug. So the fluid goes in, we wait 45 minutes, then we. So we open it.
Welcome to First Gens. This is a podcast about filling in the blanks beside the hyphen. Welcome back. My name is Sky Wilson.
Oh, not M. Dot Sky Wilson.
Okay, first of all, I've never said M. Dot. I just said M. Sky Wilson. Thank you very much.
Okay.
This is M. Sky Wilson. Actually, if I write a book, that's probably going to be my author name. So
really?
Mm-hmm. I might as well get used to it now.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that. I'm Perrine, but for the past week and a half, I've been going by exclusively Perrine because we're in Liberia and you know the whole name situation, but you understand what I'm saying. You know who this is, right?
Yes. I have no idea who you are. She just be switching it up.
Who are you?
Like, oh, this is my cousin. Pavul?
P.
P-A-D.
You don't those are her initials.
That's what it messed my internal dialogue.
No, it's not.
It is.
Lies. Lies.
So we're not here to argue. Did you finish introducing yourself?
Yeah.
You only said your first name.
Yeah. I never say my last name. Why?
Oh. I never noticed.
Never say my last name.
That's awkward. So anyway, y'all, we are back here. Not back yet. As you know, we are doing all of this from the beautiful Casablanca in Morocco.
Morocco.
I don't know what accent that was supposed to be.
Me either. We speak French and Arabic.
Yes. Oui, oui.
Oui.
S'il vous plaît. Bonjour.
Croissant.
Croissant. pain de chocolat,
y
café, or no, that y is, dang it, et café.
Sure.
Ah.
Oui, bonjour.
All right, let's stop.
There's a lot of bread
here. Insulting people.
But there's a ton of bread.
Terrible French.
I'm insulted by the carbs, in a sense, because we got away from rice in Liberia, and now we came back to bread, and it's been kind of intense.
Yeah. Yeah, and I am not a fan of carbs, personally. I am a protein person.
Yes, she
I
is.
I just want meat, 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 meat.
This guy hates bread.
I enjoy rice, however, but bread is not my friend.
It's not.
I'm not gluten-free or intolerant or anything. I just don't care for it. Don't at me.
She's a hipster.
So anyways. Speaking of carbs and protein, today we're going to be talking about healthcare.
Yes, we
that
are.
That was not even planned, actually. So we wanted to take some time and share the stories around healthcare in Liberia and share the stories from, in particular, one beautiful individual that we got to speak to who is currently, do you want to tell them about her?
Yeah, so Chrislyn is actually a pediatric resident at the JFK Memorial Hospital. Yes, in Liberia, Monrovia, they have a primary hospital that was named after John F. Kennedy. And so we visited JFK. We walked the halls specifically on the pediatric wing, and we saw a lot of children. It was pretty emotional. Mm-hmm. And you know, we were able to just skim the premises and really notice, like, honestly, a lack thereof of a lot of materials and equipment in that hospital, yet the magnitude of people that it serves, which is a whole nother ordeal that we'll get into during this episode. But the primary thing was talking to Chrislyn and why she went into healthcare, why she came back to Liberia to practice, and what that means, you know, for her and what that means for the country in the future.
Yes. So please excuse any extraneous noises you will hear. Like Perrin said, our parent said we were recording in the wing of the pediatric unit, and she was also on call, so she was getting pulled in a lot of different directions. So you may hear, you know, doctors approaching and asking questions and us cutting it off and coming back in. So I apologize for the audio quality potentially, but it's a very important story and she was a very important person. So we wanted to make sure we were able to bring this, her experience, to you all.
I'm Chrislyn Kandakai. I'm a pediatric resident. Yes, so which means I went to medical school, and then I'm now studying to become a pediatrician. And yes, this is my first year. But I went to school in China, specifically Dalian Medical University. And Dalian is very nice. In fact, they call it the Hong Kong of the North. Yeah, it's Northeast China. And the hospitals there are like, yeah, they have like, we had like 10 teaching hospitals from our school alone. So obviously I can't, I don't want to compare. Yes, but well, with regards, so because I did work like 10 months in 37 Military Hospital, Accra. And at the time I was a student, I was a final year medical student. I was doing, that was like a requirement, my rotation in Accra. So I didn't get as much hands-on because obviously I was a student, like I couldn't. But for China, the hands-on is really not, they have too many students like in the hospital, so they don't have time to like have each student, you know, do the here. So as far as hands-on experience is concerned, my best hands-on has been here in Liberia, which is a good thing for any medical person. The infectious disease rates are reducing. HIV, malaria, the works, tuberculosis, the rates are coming down. But we have this huge turnaround, like everybody getting heart disease, everybody getting diabetes. So the hospital, like, it's not so much the hospital setting and the whole clinical area, it's not so much as, it's not only the facility, it's everything. For us, I think we're behind in every, like, I'm sorry to say, but let's say, I shouldn't say we're behind, but we need help. Hopefully, you know, things will get better, but, you know, like, honestly, we really do need help. Like, it's not even a joke. Like, the facility, I'm not speaking to this politically because obviously this group inherited a whole bunch of issues, but the hospital is, we have a need for everything. Just everything. Just think about it. From gloves to MRI to dialysis. Just everything. Currently, Liberia's children, about 30% or more, have malnutrition problems. So they might not be severely malnourished, but one way or the other, they have some issues with being on par for weight for age, or, you know, stunting or whatever. And because of that, we need a feeding center so bad. Since I've been here, my professors and like those that I work with, they've been trying so hard to get a feeding center to, so that we can give therapeutic feeds, the proper, you know, feeds to the kids, because it's just that bad. You imagine someone having cancer and you can't do chemo because they're malnourished. Like, you can't even help them. Yeah. So as much as we, like, this whole thing, it has this social undertone, you know, like the poverty, like everything is just, it's really, really bad. It, like, so like, I can't even begin, because like when I say this, when we discuss this thing, I'm always like, okay, I'll be one of those people that I will always complain. Like, I won't stop complaining, because obviously it's not okay. We can't just work in a place where there's nothing in it. people come to the hospital and then they want help. They want, but you give them the help that you can give. For example, you offer them diagnosis, you offer them a treatment plan. They can't follow through because they don't have money to buy some simple thing. We have so much antibiotic resistance in Liberia because people just buy antibiotics over the counter. They just buy, just take. They don't go to the hospital. So, and it's like the roof. The biggest thing that we have is one giant called ceftriaxone that we use for everything. We don't even have those other ones that they have in Western countries and everything. But people go to the hospital, to clinics, to pharmacies, and abuse that one already. So before they get to the hospital. So like the problems are, they're multiple and they are serious. Yeah, so, before Ebola, pre-Ebola, we had much worse. We didn't even have ambulance services. Currently we have more ambulances than we ever had in the Republic, in the whole history of Liberia. So just that alone was a problem. We didn't have doctors. We didn't have, now we have more doctors, more clinicians. I never made a plan to live out of Liberia before. Like, I never have. And I have so many relatives abroad. They're like, "Yo, just come and just, why you make so much money?" I'm like, first of all, to be honest, I didn't want to. My mom is like, she's that patriotic person. So I think her influence, she really loves Liberia. She really wants to just contribute. She just wants everybody to be like her. And I've lost it a lot of times. Honestly, there have been times when I've been like, why am I even here in the first place? Like, why don't you just go and move to one island somewhere and stay there and not? But, everything that I have in me or I've brought, I have taken or, gotten from anywhere else is because of here. I grew up here. I did everything here. I went to college here. So it can't be that bad, right? So I decided to come home, and I know that my mom will be happy. Yeah, for a time, I didn't want to do clinical medicine at all because of the conditions. Because people come to the hospital, they work, and they're like, "Why is it so frustrating to just get one thing done? Why? What, you know?" So we had so many people, we had so many clinicians just leave. People just leave because they want better. Everybody wants to work in a place where they feel comfortable, they feel like they're making an impact or something. But you just come and work. You just work and work and work, and you really like, what am I doing? Like, so a lot of people have left, So I just recently decided to do pediatrics. Because I love kids. And I really do like to help. Yeah, I knew it would be a challenge. I knew that it would be a challenge. But I also want to learn. So the opportunity of having postgraduate studies in Liberia, because honestly, I was like, who can me pay my school fees again to go do another, master's in medicine? It's just a long thing. It doesn't end. So I was like, okay, let me just go this on my own since this is free. That was one thing that motivated me. I was like, okay, it's free. I learn, I work, I help. For Liberia, the children are just, they're suffering. Let me put it in a real, they're suffering. Nothing, I worked at Redemption Hospital and I worked in pediatrics at Redemption for 3 months when I was a student. And honestly, these days, it's like everybody have forgotten about teenage pregnancy, about all these other things. We have so many young children having kids. So somebody is 18, they have 3 kids, they've had 2 cesareans, like it's just that bad. So you really have to want to help, because you can really get frustrated and be like, what? I can't do this. We just have so many kids having kids. We just have so many children that are just suffering. They're not in school, they're not being fed properly, they're just malnourished, they're just being had for the sake of having children. So I think I just choose pediatrics because I feel like I can really help, just do something. we have like three categories. We have the maternal mortality itself, we have infant mortality, then we have neonatal mortality. And the neonates are like below 28 days or something. But for Liberia, I think currently, yeah, because when I was in school, I started doing a public health thing a year ago. Just started and couldn't finish because I was so busy. But yeah, when I was in school, Liberia had at least in the top five highest in the world. Liberia was in the highest in the world, yeah. So like from then to now, I have not like really followed, you know, like the numbers. Yes, but per live births, like each baby that is born alive, recorded live birth, we have over 37 dead moms, dead babies, like infants, neonates, and moms. So we have what we really, like the task is very, I don't know how to quantify it. It's very serious. Do you know how many kids we've had have babies that are too large for gestational age? They had the babies by normal delivery because there's no ultrasound. They've been monitored. Yes, they've been going for antenatal, but yes, just today or yesterday, we had two or three cases in the past 3 months where people, an 18-year-old delivered a 4.6 kg baby by normal delivery. Yes. So like, it's not even like, it's just multiple issues. But that identical thing is something that can be stopped. And ultrasound is really not that expensive, you know? If somebody cared, it will be there. I can understand in MRI, something is, you know, that is more so complicated not being at a hospital. But people move from that place to Redemption. People move so many miles to get an ultrasound. You'll not even believe it. If I had to walk that long, I would just be like, look, let that baby come as he or she is, you know, unless I really, really know the dangers. But if somebody in their entire pregnancy had not gotten an ultrasound, what do you expect? Maternal mortality, infant mortality, all the mortality will be high. Serene Health for All. Mobile clinic. It started as a mobile clinic, but she kind of removed the mobile clinic side when she added the goal, you know, because we needed like a goal. We needed like something to focus on. So we started to focus on women and children. And then that's when the maternal mortality being one of the biggest issues we're dealing with globally right now, we decided to bring it in to tie it into the program. So we started having this goal and soliciting funds, not only to do outreach to see people, because like the healthcare needs, they're so dire. Everywhere you go, people will tell you that there's no clinic. If the clinic is here, there are no drugs, like there's no this, there's no that. So that was why she started it initially. But then when she started begging for money to continue the program, people were like, no, we have to have a focus to help you and everything, which made sense, right? Yeah, so we started going, begging, and she's really been trying because she uses her business money to fund the organization so that it will go on, so that it doesn't stop in the middle and be like, oh. So the fundraising dinner is like a way of saying the program needs to be maintained. We need to keep on the projects. We need to keep monitoring the women we have, because what we do is we enroll women. And then we monitor them, and then we see where they are, how far along in the pregnancy. We try, because it's difficult. Like we had a dollar campaign earlier this year, that said any amount will do, any amount whatsoever. Like if you have $1, Liberian dollar, if it's possible, bring it. It will help someone and it will do something. So that's the whole idea. I really do think that Liberians have personality. I really do. Like, you know, my colleagues in China, I had friends from everywhere, by the way. Zimbabwe, just think about it, just everywhere. Yeah. And they will say, why are Liberian people like this? You just like good things. You just like this. You just like, you know, she would always, like, they will always say that. Like, really, like you said. But I feel like Liberian people are just themselves. They're not anybody else. Like, we just on our own. We have our own thing going. Yes. And we, you know, amongst us, we have really good people. Like, I think Liberian people are just good people. Besides, we got good food. We think we're all that. Well, I really feel like we have personality. And something that you can't trade it for anything. The moment you can almost tell a Liberian person among, I don't know, but maybe it's me because I'm always like looking. I just feel like Liberian people special. So, okay, maybe I'm biased, but really, I feel like we have personality and it goes along, you know. So, I mean, I'm really happy to be Liberian, honestly. Or even those who die, yeah, I can be. But yes, I don't think I will have it any other way.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts. It helps other folks find us. We can also be found on SoundCloud and wherever else you get your podcasts. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at First Gens. That's the number one, STGENS. Plus, get some extra content on our website, www.firstgenspodcast.com. First Gens was created by Perrine DeShield. The show is co-hosted by Perrine and Sky Wilson, aka myself. Our musical composer is the wonderful Nicholas Stubblefield, who has been recently engaged. Congratulations to Nick and Shinny. Special thanks to Chrislyn for sharing her story. First Gens is a proud member of Huga, an amazing co-working space based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for taking a chance on us.